within the pot can illuminate the room. In a similar way, this material world is something like a dark room where we do not have any light, spiritual light. What we have, however, is a reflection of the light of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material world needs Krishna and is resting on Krishna. How so? Well, the sunlight, which you can perceive, is a reflection of the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a very nice, translation of the example is very good, because just like the reflected light in the pot is illuminating the room, in a similar way, the reflected Brahma Jyoti, in other words, the sun ray, they are the sun rays, are illuminating the darkened universe. A self-realized soul is able, as we were discussing yesterday, to always see that the Supreme Lord's energies are maintaining everything. Just like, for instance, the vegetation on different planetary systems, it is only possible due to the sunlight. Without the presence of the sun, there wouldn't be any vegetation and no fructal juice. It is due to the sun, huh, that this whole universe happens. That sun can be seen as a representative of the Supreme Lord in two ways. I was talking about one way. It is a reflection of the Brahma Jyoti. Second way is that Surya Narayan is there. A form of the Lord, Vishnu form, is residing in the sun planet, and great saints are actually worshipping the sun. When you want to have strong eyesight, you can also look into the sun. Every morning, at a certain time, which you have to find out from Ayurveda, and you can look for a certain amount of time into the sun, and it will strengthen your eyes. But if you do this in the midday, it will be very bad for your eyes. So, you can find out from Padmanabha what is the times you should do this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is easily perceived by him who wants to remember Krishna. If you sincerely want to remember Krishna, you have ample opportunities. However, if you want to sincerely forget Krishna, you also have ample opportunities. There are many processes given in the Vedic scriptures how to remember Krishna. One is to chant his holy name. Then is to hear regularly about from devotees about Sri Krishna. And so on and so forth. I think we could now make again a quiz, but this is not necessary, since it will maybe this good, so everyone wakes up from the halava and ladus. What do you do to remember Krishna? Katrakat. Chant Hare Krishna. Good. Do you sometimes remember Krishna when you chant? Sometimes we chant due to habit. We put our hands in the vivek and then it goes. It's almost like driving to Zagreb. You know, we don't really notice anything when we drive because we have driven so often. We see everything, the Nama shop, you know, and what is that, Kaplinske, Toplitske, and so on. We don't really notice it because we have done it so often. It is doesn't strike us as something special, or the castle there on the left side, which is now being used as a furniture house, you know, and you know, on the bay between Pregrad and Kapinske, Toplitske. Okay, but Katukach is remembering Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna. We should remember Krishna. Oh, my dear Lord, we should pray. Please engage me in your service. Now, what are you doing to remember Krishna? Do you sometimes feel the necessity to remember Krishna?
Yes.
Yeah. So, what are you doing? Please help us.
Always try to remember his lila pastime.
Really?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. Not enough, maybe.
Sure.
Rishabha Prabhu, what are you doing? Please help us. Give us your realization.
I'm trying to read Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. What is our lawyer doing? Uh-huh. Very nice. What are you doing to remember Krishna? Sometimes. Each Vaishvara. Do you remember that it is for Krishna that you cook? This is very nice. He does something practical. What are you doing?
Now?
Now you... No, not now. When you want to remember Krishna.
Doing some service for Krishna.
Yeah. It's very important. Have you ever thought when you do something, it is for Krishna? Krishna is receiving it. Here, Krishna, please accept my service. What are you doing? Yes. Yeah. Very nice. But this is the beginner stage. See, usually the materialist also remembers God when it doesn't go very nicely. Just in the Second World War, when the husbands were not returning, the women were praying, "Oh God, send us our hubbies." Yeah. But later they didn't pray any longer. So, but it is very nice. We start, there are four persons who approach Krishna. One is he who suffers. So this is God. It's all right. Daidi Baksha, you have not said anything. Yeah. Yes, so Prabhu, this is not a theoretical discussion. Every one of us has to do something to remember Krishna. Because by remembering Krishna, we will become Krishna conscious. And achieve the ultimate end of our lives. Remembering Krishna prepares our mind to become a very helpful friend for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Forgetting Krishna, however, gives our mind a great poison, and he will kill us. It is in older times, kings would have a Vishai Kanya, that means a poison girl. These girls would drink poison in small quantities. And as they were growing up, they could drink more and more amounts of poison. So they became very, very beautiful due to the acid in the body. A woman becomes extremely beautiful. And these girls would go to the thing, to the enemy of the king, yes. And the enemy would think, what a wonderful lady. She must have come from the higher planetary systems in order to spend some romantic hours with me. So as soon as they would be kissing, the poison would be transported with the saliva into the body of the opponent, and he would immediately die from this poison. Just one kiss was sufficient, because these girls were so, you understand, there was so much poison in their body. They would just, and then finished. And they would escape very easily, these girls, because they thought, well, he has spent a long night with her, therefore he is sleeping now and resting carefully. He's very exhausted. His energy has been pumped out, so now he is sleeping, and she would say goodbye. And later, after one day, they went, what is our Kralj doing? Still sleep? And after 3 days, the Kralj would stink, so they would know. So this is what when our mind is not remembering Krishna, but reflecting the desires, material desires for sense gratification, it becomes like a Vishai Kanya, a poisonous girl with whom we are embracing in our mind, and we become more and more poisoned. We may not think it is such a serious thing to not think of Krishna and think of other things. But the scriptures tell us the greatest loss is when you don't think of Krishna. They say it's the greatest loss. Because, see, this human form of life is a chance to remember Krishna. It is made to remember Krishna. And I wanted to ask these questions so that audience of Vaishnavas understands that what we are doing actually is for remembering Krishna. You clean the toilet to remember Krishna, not the dirt in the toilet. You prepare a garland to remember Gaunitai. This will be Gaunitai will wear this. You push the pencil over the paper and manage to remember Krishna. Everything we do in Krishna consciousness is for self-purification. The highest meaning of Krishna consciousness, this is what Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, please wake up, this is important. Afterwards you can sleep. After this sentence. The highest meaning in Krishna consciousness is save yourself. That is the highest meaning in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada once said. Now, of course, Krishna consciousness is so beautiful that whilst you are engaged in the process of saving yourself, you also save others and become free from these egocentric ideas. But we should not forget, it is for self-purification that we go on Sankirtan, that we cook. And this only happens if we work and think of Krishna. Most of you are disciples of Sri Vishnupada, so I will tell you a trick which your spiritual master applied in his life when of a book distributor. He would go into the New York tube system. It's called tube system? The underground metro, yeah. And he would distribute. So anyone who has been in New York, he can say the tube system, the underground is very, it's the gathering place of so many materialistic people. I've heard many murders are committed in the underground system in New York. It is really a crazy place. Those who have not gone can ask Gopinath and get first-hand information. It's a very hellish atmosphere in there. So, when Vishnupada was distributing, he had mantraka. Mantra means verses. He has painted them on the hand, he once said. And he had them stuck everywhere, you know, to look here, look there. And mantras. Hare Krishna. Sorry, mantras, I'm saying the wrong word. Not Hare Krishna, mantras. Verses, shlokas, I meant to say shlokas. That's what he did. And he read in between. Because if you don't remember Krishna, your activities you will be very limited. What you do in your activities, sometimes your activities will become troublesome. Srila Prabhupada has spoken especially about deity worship. If you worship the deity of Sisi Gonitai or any deity, and you forget Krishna, then the whole process becomes a burden. Oh, now I have to put the lemon, now I have to wash the new clothes and then clean it and then offer it. I mean, bring food on time, go to sleep, you know. It becomes a burden and you will commit offenses. Now, the same process is applicable in all our services. If we forget that this is for Krishna, then it becomes troublesome. Then service becomes work. Devotees become colleagues with whom you like and whom you also dislike, just like friends and enemies in the material world. Forgetting Krishna, the kirtans become like a needless, boring ritual. If we forget Krishna, the classes become at best mental speculation or some intellectual, you know, how do you say, kirtan, intellectual, you know, when you do like this, and you become happy, you smile falsely. Kirtan, tickling or so. Anyways, the world is not a problem. When you forget Krishna, your day becomes a passionate drive, only coming to a stop at the three meals a day. You know, yoop, yoop, yoop. And your life becomes a time machine. It is described karma time machine. It is described in the scriptures, Ashrada Dana Purusho, that those who are on this process of devotional service, but who do not have faith in it, who forget Krishna, they go back to the path of birth and death in this material world. So remembering Krishna in what we do is an art. We have to learn it. because our mind always flows in a different way. We have learned from our poison girl, the mind, that our, how would you say, that the thinking should go in a different way. When we see something, we become, how do you say, immediately remembered of it in a material context. But, like you see some, I've heard from Sankirtan, you see, when you are in Sankirtan in the summer in Split, you see everywhere Splitterfaselnackte, this is a German expression, I think, which comes from Split. There's nackt means naked, yes. And you say, to make it very heavy, this naked, you say Splitterfaselnackt, you know, like Split. So the Germans were great tourists, so they always liked to go to naked Split. So when you go in the summer in Yugoslavinsko and distribute books, you see so many allurements. And if you forget Krishna, your day becomes a fight with the senses. The Vishaykanya, who wants to poison you. So, but remembering Krishna, everything becomes quite easy. So this is one point. The self-realized soul will see in everything he sees a reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was a point being made in the text, just like a reflection of the sun can be seen in a darkened room if it's in the reflected in the pot. So the person who knows will immediately know this is a reflection of the sun. He will be reminded of the sun. So in a similar way, someone who sees anything in this world and who has practiced the art of remembering Krishna, he will see everything in context with the Lord. This is a real practice. Prabhupada told us in everything he saw to remember Krishna. I don't know if I told this story in Yugoslavia, so I will tell it. Prabhupada once made a walk, yes, and he went to a tree where the stool of a bird was. And he took his cane and pointed towards the stool and said, "What is this? What does this mean?" So devotees were a little shy to say that a bird went to the toilet. So they didn't want to say this. So they said, this is the result of the metabolism. They gave some explanation. But I know this. This means that even the bird is attached. Because this was not from one sitting, it was from many sittings. And it meant that the bird was coming many days to the same branch where he was attached to. So Prabhupada, he could see everything in a Krishna conscious perspective. He saw everything in the light of Krishna conscious knowledge. Or when he saw buildings, he immediately was very enthusiastic. These buildings could be used for Krishna as a temple. Nice kirtan hall. Everything Prabhupada, it was just Prabhupada was a Krishna conscious transformator. You're in the transformator, there's one kind of voltage going in and another coming out. So Prabhupada received one kind of information, he saw, but another, he saw it in a different light. He transformed the material world into a Krishna conscious presence. This is what we all should do. We should become Krishna conscious transformators. And then everyone who will come in contact with us will be also transformed. When I saw the devotees, I understood, well, these are the best people I've ever seen. They are the real heroes. I want to be with them. I want to be always on the best, on the winner side. In my Kami days, I always wanted to play with the Rolling Stones, and I was working hard to attain this goal. But they were not very merciful towards me. And when I saw the devotees, I said, well, no, I don't want to be with these dogs. I want to be with Krishna and his devotees, because they look happy, they look effulgent, they look like the winners, the heroes. So this is quite important. Now I want to end my lecture with a little story on Lord Nityananda, because this story illustrates in a very nice way how someone who comes together with Krishna, even if he remembers him negatively, is transformed in an amazing sort of way. So Lord Nityananda was a very extraordinary personality. I mean, is a very extraordinary personality. He would be, for instance, the way he dressed was in blue silk, but not just blue. It was different colored silks were flowing around him. Then he had a turban with different colored silks, you know, it went like all over. It was very puzzling to see. And then he always had a heavy iron rod with him. And he would dance, and his companions were dressed up as cowherd boys, but colorful. So they also looked very special. Lord Nityananda had valuable jewels all over him. You know, he really looked like, I don't know how to say it. It must have been a feast for the eyes. He was decorating himself. You know, had wonderful, his face was ornamented, and it was not ordinary. So he would also be always in ecstasy. Everyone who saw Lord Nityananda, he was overcome by waves of joy. Sometimes little children saw him. Oh, this is something for the Yugoslavian parents. You know, and the little children wanted to go with Lord Nityananda because they were so interested in Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda would sometimes feed them prasadam with his own hand. It was an ocean of mercy. Whoever came to him, he was benedicted by him. So it is described that the parents wanted to hold the children, but these children were so strong due to the influence of our Lord Nityananda that not 100 people were able to hold them. You know, they were just dragged behind by one little boy who went like this. Lord Nityananda's desires could transform the workings of nature. One time he was sitting and he desired to have a special garland made from special flowers which only grow in Vrindavan. So this was at the house of Raghava Pandit. So Raghava Pandit said, I'm sorry, my dear Lord, I want to supply this garland, but I can't do it just now. We have to send a man to Vrindavan, you know, somehow get the flowers, but it is not possible. Just go and look, Lord Nityananda said. And then Raghava Pandit went outside and he found how the lemon tree, you know, the flowers of the lemon tree transformed into the Kadamba flower. And then he made a garland from Kadamba. I mean, there are many extraordinary things we could tell, but I think you got the idea. The devotees were so inspired by Lord Nityananda's presence, who could melt the stone if he so desired. So one day, one bandit, one gangster, saw him. He was from a aristocratic background. He was a fallen Brahmana, and he decided to rob Lord Nityananda of all his jewels and ornaments. So he went with his men amongst the Kirtan party and watched him to find out his habits, and in this way he found out that Lord Nityananda used to visit different houses of devotees and spent the night there discussing Krishna Katha and then resting. So one night they thought it was very favorable to attack Lord Nityananda, so they went with a huge crowd of gangsters, all clad in armor and with heavy kachas, you know, these Bengali type of swords. So they all went under a tree and asked one of the men, "You spy, when the light goes out, you come and you get us and we will attack this Avaduta." So that night, everyone, including the spy, felt fast asleep. And in the morning, they were awakened by the hoarse crowing of a crow. They had to go home. Ah, said the gangster, "Oh, this was such a good time. Why this happened?" And he said, "Well, this is because we didn't worship Mother Chandi good enough. We have to offer some alcohol to her." So they prepared a huge feast for Mother Chandi, for Durga Puja. And after some time, tried again. And I'm not quite sure what happened. The second night. Oh yes. You all know the story, so I will tell it a little short. The second night they saw these heavy guards, and they also decided not to attack Lord Nityananda. The Avaduta, the Brahmana, did not really understand why these heavy guards were there. He thought that Lord Nityananda had so many disciples, many of whom were kings, and those kings had given him these guards for his protection. So finally, in the third night of attack, they went. I have to say, these guards were all dressed opulently, and they had tilak, and they chanted Hare Krishna, and they looked as if one guard could fight with 100. People and defeat them all. Very, very strong. So the third night, they were somehow all blinded and they fell into ditches and they were bitten by mosquitoes and also they fell into thorns, and those thorns made them bleed all over. It was heavy. So finally the Brahmana, this fallen Brahmana, began to understand, I have tried so many times to fight with, to rob this Avaduta, but I've always been defeated. This must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So he went to Lord Nityananda. He threw himself down on the ground and said, "My dear Lord, please, Ishwini, I was such a sinful wretch. Now, please accept my humble obeisances." And he was crying, and he said, "Now allow me, please, to go to the Ganga and drown myself. I have committed such a sin by trying to attack you that there's only one solution for me left. I must die." So Lord Nityananda said, no need, you just go and spread this wonderful movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu amongst the gangsters. And this Brahmana, he was the chief of all the dacoits. He converted a lot of other dacoits. So also we have somehow or other come in contact with Krishna consciousness, with this wonderful movement. And now we also go to the Mr. Slivovichius of Yugoslavensko and we preach to them. But we will be only successful in raising them if we give up our past life. If our hearts become the residing places of Krishna, then our endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness will be very successful. And for this we have to learn this simple art to remember Krishna. To remember Krishna means you have something to think about. See, if you look into the old photos, then you are remembering many incidents. For instance, if you would go home to Mama and Tata, and you would look in your old photo albums, do you Yugoslavian parents also do this? Make picture albums of their children, how they grow. Long ago, I saw my own picture and I saw this Budala, you know, wasting his time, which, you know, and I remembered everything. It was like a nightmare. Because all these pictures, they said something to me. I had seen this person, that person. Was, for instance, sitting on a horse, and I was remembering this horse, you know, and I was, anyways, I don't want to pollute the atmosphere. Because I knew this, I could remember. So, in a similar way, we have to know something about Krishna consciousness. Then when we see things of this world, we will remember. For instance, when we see a certain kami, we will laugh, oh, he looks like Pondraka, who tried to imitate Krishna. Immediately we are Krishna conscious. You know, or when we hear some philosophical nonsense, you know, some, we will immediately remember the answer in the Kniga. And in this way, by knowing, you can remember. If you don't know, the picture book becomes a boring thing. For instance, if I look into other people's picture books, I feel like, you know, looking at someone's underwear. It is very boring and not very elevating. One is not stroke. Nothing is, you know, bringing one up. So, but if one knows, one is moved and one is thinking and so on. So, therefore, let us make a program to study Krishna conscious literature. Remembering Krishna while walking through this world. So, Hare Krishna, I want to end here. And I want to wish all the Sankirtan devotees a very nice week. 2 weeks we go out here?
Yes.
Was very nice. You are all very enthusiastic Kirtan devotees. One becomes enlivened in your presence. So, I also wanted to again remind you that by a persistent endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness in this country might become something very extraordinary in Krishna consciousness. It is really effective. I'm sometimes, of course, exaggerating for different reasons, one to be sarcastic and so on. But when I'm really saying the truth when I say I think Yugoslavia is one of the most best countries for Krishna consciousness because people have a heart. It's even better than Italy, I think, because in Italy people are not so serious. I've heard this many times. Asarada Prabhu, who often is there, he told me that they are often are lightweights. So if you just become serious, you're already serious, but if you increase the point of remembering Krishna in your activities and become walking tirthas because Krishna is in your heart, then this movement can do wonderful things here. So I don't want to keep you. You will have to leave soon. But if there are some questions, it's always very nice to answer. So. Dobrodošli in pekne dvade. Everything in Bhagavatam has a meaning. It is there not as an entertainment, but to awaken your Krishna consciousness. So there are different ways to awaken one's Krishna consciousness. One way is by describing the spiritual nature. Another way is by describing the workings of the material nature. When the Bhagavatam talks of the apsaras, it is not pornography, but it is, literary. It's not literary pornography, but it is meant to incite Krishna consciousness in the reader. Transcendental scripture works through different methods, and one is describing the material nature in a very illuminating way. For instance, in that part of the Bhagavatam, the eyes of the woman are considered to be like bows. Not the eyebrows are like bows. You know, from where the glance is coming to the man, and then he's finished. And this description is so nice. One immediately understands, well, I should not look too much at ladies' faces. So it has all it, or when you see an involved story like Maharaj, I don't know him just now by word, you know, this Maharaj who was living with an apsara who left him later, and he was lamenting so much. And then this one king, and he Pururava, yes, he lamented Pururava, yes, he lamented so much that this apsara had left him, and he began even to perform sacrifices to reach the planet where this apsara was living. He was so attached. And but later he wrote this Aila Gita that comes in the 11th canto, where he describes material attachment and where one can learn very much from this very nice description. I was living in this house of the body, which was built with bones, and there were lakes of urine in this house, and I forgot the Lord who is in the house, and he's speaking wonderful verses. So everything has a reason. We might also ask ourselves, why is there so often the story of the kings in the Bhagavatam? When we hear that a devotee should have nothing to do with kings, the reason is that by talking about the kingdoms which were lost within time, Shukadev Goswami wanted to take all remaining attachments from his disciple Parikshit Maharaj, because he was also a Kraj, and he could have been attached, you know, before giving up his body to be